Welcome to the Above Politics Show.
Like it or not, we live in times of danger and uncertainty.
Dedicated to intelligent discussion and debate of serious political issues in the U.S. and around the globe.
Absolutely unrealistic.
Borrowing money from China to finance the war in Iraq.
President Bush continues to not let facts get in the way of his ideology.
From AbovePolitics.com, this is the Above Politics Show.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Above Politics Show. I'm Martin Bain from a rather wet and windy Great Britain.
And I'm Justin Case from an undisclosed location, because today we're going to war.
Yes, this war in Georgia I think we might be talking about later on does seem to have garnered a little bit of interest on the website.
This last Friday, Georgian forces crossed into South Ossetia, which is a breakaway province from Georgia. And the Russians responded, and now it's been 4 days later, and things are getting very interesting. And as Martin says, we have a special guest appearance by ATS member TKZero, who's going to share his thoughts with us on this matter. But, you know, that's not the only baloney that's hit the fan recently. We've got, unfortunately, some more bad economic news, the embarrassment of a U.S. presidential contender. And on top of all of that, we managed to score an interview with a top-level Republican personality associated with the Republicans' National Convention, which is going to be held in Minneapolis.
We certainly did, and we'll be airing that one just from a balance point of view before anyone turns round and starts hassling you and me about, oh, you only got the Republicans or the GOP party on. We are trying very hard to talk to the Democratic Party to get someone to balance the show, but currently they're not returning our calls.
Don't you're being altogether too generous. Look, we have tried at the local level, at the state level, and at the national level, and every Democratic Party spokesperson that we've been able to reach has said unequivocally, thanks, but no thanks.
And I would just say I tried to talk to Democrats abroad in the United Kingdom, and I will balance it off Republicans abroad. At least the Democrats abroad in the UK bother to answer my email. The Republicans abroad in the United Kingdom couldn't even be bothered to answer my email, which maybe says, you know, if Senator McCain, there are some stories that even he has a problem using a computer. Doesn't exactly surprise me, maybe, that the chairman of Republicans abroad in the United Kingdom couldn't be bothered to answer my request for an interview either.
Speaking of answers, we got a winner from last week's trivia challenge.
Woohoo!
Last week, my question for all of you trivia buffs was to actually name three individually famous mice. That's M-I-C-E, mice. And ATS member Tuning Spork popped up immediately with Mickey Mouse, Minnie Mouse, and, of course, Mighty Mouse.
Here I come to save the day. Thank goodness Mighty Mouse is on his way.
There are many other potential answers that he could have thrown out there, to include Speedy Gonzales, the fastest mouse in all of Mexico, Danger Mouse, one of the most intrepid mice in all of Britain.
He's fantastic. Wherever there is danger, he'll be there. Danger Mouse.
Amazing.
Danger Mouse.
Astounding.
Danger Mouse.
Congratulations to Tuning Spork. Now, Dave and Johnny are out of town right now, but I'm sure that one of their interns we'll pass a note to them so that they can get you your 500 handmade, environmentally safe ATS applause points.
Hey everyone, Doc Hancock here from the BTS Mix Show. The BTS Mix is a lot of fun, but when I need some serious mental stimulation, I know exactly where to go. Our sister shows here at the Above Network LLC. Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous over at the ATS Mix Show tackle a variety of current topics, ranging from hard-hitting events in the news to conspiracy theories to the mysterious world of UFOs. Here you'll find insightful discussions about member posts, member interviews, and exclusive interviews with experts in their fields. To quench my political cravings, I tune into the Above Politics Show with Martin Bain and Justin Case. Martin and Justin make sense out of this crazy political climate by discussing member posts, interviewing members about their stances on the issues, and interviewing noted political figures and authors. For politics, there is nowhere else to turn. So come on over and deny boredom with us at the BTS Mix Show, featuring Spencer Tracy and me, Doc Hancock. Deny ignorance with the ATS Mix Show with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous. And deny apathy with the Above Politics Show with Martin Bain and Justin Case. Be a part of the revolution. It's Above Network, LLC.
Now, I suppose the pressure's on me now to come up with some thought-provoking questions. Get my teeth into this one. The question is, what is the name of the highway that connects Tbilisi, which has been in the news, and Abkhazia, or Abkhazia? If I've mispronounced that one, I'm sure someone will educate me. So the name of the highway between Tbilisi and Abkhazia.
And just in case any of you funny guys are reaching for your keyboards right now, no, it's not called the fire exit.
Or the bolt hole, maybe.
Ouch. Boy, things are getting really interesting there. So, Martin, what are you seeing from your perspective in regards to the reportage of Russia versus Georgia?
Well, it's certainly made the news. It's typically been at the front of most of the broadcasts, both on TV and also radio and also print media. I think it is interesting. One of the things I've been thinking about is, well, what is Russia trying to do here? And I have this sneaky suspicion that Russia may be flexing its muscles a little bit and just wanting to make sure that some of the breakaway states around the border of Russia are just aware of where the power lies. I think that's got to be some part of it, is that, you know, Georgia is certainly looking to join NATO. A consequence of joining NATO is that, you know, EU membership becomes more of an option. Russia has lost other satellite states, and, you know, some of the old Eastern Bloc countries have moved to NATO. So they might be feeling a little bit threatened. And, you know, I just think it was an opportunity to go and flex the muscles and just say to the Georgian president, yes, there are some things you can do, but just remember, always look over your shoulder.
For God's sake, feed me!
You know, Justin Case is no conspiracy theorist, but he does drink beer with them on a regular basis, and some of them have spun some rather interesting ideas. The suspicion is that Georgia's president is playing a very dangerous game here. By provoking the Russians to attack, the conspiracy theory goes, he gets them to eliminate his border disputes, which are, of course, the two breakaway provinces, and if he can survive the war, NATO membership is virtually guaranteed.
And, yeah, you could see that, although I suppose it's a bit of a risky strategy to try and provoke, you know, the old Soviet bear. What is the Soviet bear? Or what, you know, and that's a fairly high risk strategy here, because it does seem that the Russia, before I get any U2U, send them to Justin rather than me. Never mind. It's a dangerous thing to do. Not exactly been an even balance here of the scorecard. If you were to tot it up, you would suggest that Georgia has suffered fairly heavily in its campaign against Russia. And yeah, I think it would be fair to say that certainly the Georgian military wasn't seen as a sort of, you know, second-rate military. They probably formed a fairly serious core of the old Soviet army. They've got a lot of fairly modern, up-to-date equipment. But it does seem that they did get a very English phrase, got a bit of a bloody nose.
I can't help but noticing that every time the Georgian forces have had to withdraw, they've done so in exceptionally good order, as if that were part of their military plan from the start.
And guess what? That could be a very sharp and astute concept there. And I suppose we have to turn around and say the US has had a president that sort of got the US into a war in Iraq that was, you know, an interesting one. So, you know, who's to say that the president of Georgia hasn't thought in the same line and decided that, hang on a minute, I could do something that makes me look strong, that almost forces NATO, forces the EU to accept me, because if they don't accept me, I might not be here tomorrow. Then that's probably a fairly sensible strategy here. But one of the other things, I was talking to a friend of mine who was sort of saying, but, you know, but where are the Americans? And I had to tell him that I was absolutely confident that whilst the Georgian army has been had some training from US forces to bring them up to speed with the standards in NATO, I'd throw the conspiracy theory out there that I suspect there are US special forces maybe acting as advisors or observers in the region just to see what's going on and just to see maybe how the Russian hardware is working. You know, are all their plans, if they had to go against Russia, are they still valid? Do they still work? So I'm absolutely sure that there are probably American Secret Service, American Special Forces, and I'm not sure whether it'll be British Special Forces, but I suspect America has got a contingent on the ground in Georgia.
Now, speaking of observations, I had a chance to speak to ATS member T. Kane Zero earlier today, and here's what he had to tell me about what he sees going on in Georgia. How did you develop the screen name of T. Kane Zero?
Well, I started doing getting an email way back, 10 years ago or something, and everyone was doing a tool for something, and I decided I wanted to just make something up that was going to be totally unique and that no one else could randomly have. So I just threw a couple things together. And
well, that's pretty cool. What it actually reminds me of the character of Sub-Zero from the Schwarzenegger film Running Man.
It reminds someone of everything, everyone of something. Something different.
Wow, that's pretty cool. What was it that got you interested in ATS in the first place?
Let's see. I think my senior year of high school, I had a AP government class, and my teacher started talking about the JFK conspiracy and all that. So running around on the net, searching, and I stumbled across ATS just out of the blue and just started looking for a few months, and I finally joined up and started posting.
Oh, that sounds like a very normal story. What would you say is your favorite conspiracy theory at the moment?
Favorite conspiracy theory at the moment? I guess at the moment, with the certain topics, it would be, what's the theory behind what's really going on in Georgia?
What's your theory about the way things are playing out?
It's an absolute mess right now. Both sides are thinking themselves as right. Both sides in the view of the world can be considered wrong in what they're doing. I can't make it out what's going on. Every report that you look at in the media is siding with one side or the other.
Well, that's so true. I mean, they've got to have a bias of some kind. Otherwise, if they had no point of view, I imagine those would be some pretty boring broadcasts.
Certainly would.
So are you going to school at UC Davis?
Yeah, I am. I'm up at school. I'm on a break right now.
So what's your major?
Oh, a physics major.
And what do you want to do with that?
I'm not sure exactly, but I want to go into astrophysics.
Okay, when you say astrophysics, do you mean the study of astronomy like through Hubble and things like that, or are you talking about maybe an engineering emphasis in rocket?
Yeah, more on the engineering side of it.
Okay, well, that's pretty cool. Who knows? Maybe someday some big-time media personality will be talking to you about your work on the Mars Project.
We can only hope.
So what else would you say is really capturing your attention on Above Top Secret right now?
It's really everything. The last few days have been all about the Georgian conflict. ATS is probably the best place on the net right now for information as a gathering place. We have such a broad spectrum of members. We have Russians posting. We have Georgians posting. Every niche of the world is represented.
That is very true. I have to admit that as one of the co-hosts for the Above Politics show, I do like hearing from so many different people in so many different parts of the world. So how much longer do you have to go in your program before you graduate?
I have another year of undergrad work, and then after that, I'll be transferring to a graduate program.
What's your favorite part of the Above Politics show?
I just like getting to hear it. The information that everyone comes in with their own opinion on it. It's refreshing. I mean, when the ATS mix was launched and everything, it was pretty controversial on ATS, but they've really banged it out and gotten it under together now.
Oh, by the way, do you have any presidential predictions?
Presidential predictions. Let's see here. I think McCain's going to go very, very negative on Obama in his campaigning. I think he's starting to rev it up a little bit, but I think it's only the beginning of this full-on Obama assault.
Is it going to work?
Well, I mean, if you look at the polls, it's working already. I mean, the daily trackers and stuff are showing them pretty much neck and neck right now. And those are coming from the quote-unquote liberal media. So you got to take that with a grain of salt. So,
if you had to bet the family ranch, who do you think is going to win?
I think I'm going to have to go with Obama, though.
Well, now that you've actually done it, now that you've survived being a guest on the Above Politics show, would you recommend it to the other ATS members?
I would recommend it to any ATS member, especially our international members, because we don't get the international view here in the U.S. I mean, that's assuming if you even watch the major news networks. They don't give you real news, especially about the whole world.
Well, that's true. I noticed that, as you pointed out earlier, some of the reporting from ATS members, such as Malloy, it's been very detailed with plenty of links you can click on to, so it's been very educational, and, you know, honestly, I haven't seen that from Katie Couric.
Yeah, well, I think you're looking in the wrong place if you're expecting that from her. But I have to just reaffirm what you're saying about some members like Malloy. That we're getting information that it's better. We have better access to information than the news media, I believe. We get our information as it happened from people, unfiltered, their opinion of the matter. And that's just something that's dead in today's media.
Hey, and something I enjoy always getting a member on the show to talk about things. Very sharp guy, spoke about Georgia, absolutely there, Justin. But also, one of the things I was interested in is he spoke about the U.S. presidential elections, that, you know, he still feels that Obama's got the wherefore to continue to win, which I think is interesting. But, you know, what I want to do, hey, let's go north of the border, shall we?
We recently had a chance to sit down and talk to ATS member Gao2789, who is Joey, who happens to be our Canadian correspondent. He gives us the news from Canada. Let's hear what he has to tell us about himself before we hear the latest news from Canada. Well, first, why don't you start off by telling us a little about yourself?
A little about me. I'm from Eastern Canada, New Brunswick. That's as specific as I will get. I'm a single parent, raising an 8-year-old little girl by myself. I'm a chef by trade, and I also happen to be a moderator at Above Top Secret.
Now, that leads to one of the more obvious questions, of course. How did you get involved in AboveTopSecret.com in the first place?
I had joined the Freemasons about 3 months prior to my joining, and I was looking for some information. One of my friends is a bit of an anti-Mason, so to speak, and I was looking for some information on them, on some of the things that he had told me, and one of the first hits on my Google search was Above Top Secret. And so I clicked on it, and I started looking through some of the Mason stuff and realized that there was much, much more to it, and started looking through the forums, and was like, oh my God. There's a world of people out there that actually believe some of the things I believe. So I started reading, and about a week later I joined.
Well, that's pretty cool then. So now, can I properly assume that you're still an active Mason?
I am, yes.
Okay, so what would you say are the three most obvious misconceptions that people have about Freemasonry?
Well, one would be is that it's not truly a secret society. It's more of a private club, so to speak. Two is that all these concordant bodies rule over Masonry, Scottish Rite, New York Rite, and the different bodies. And three is that, well, we're all out to rule the world. I'm not out to rule the world. I'm just out to try to be a better person, and that was about it.
Well, it sounds like you have your hands full being a single dad, so where would you find time to rule the world?
Very true, very true. Although I'm raising my little girl to rule the world. Although she can't be a Freemason, so I guess that kind of debunks that a little bit, too.
I see, but you know, that rules out certain scholarships, so she's really going to have to be on the ball.
Well, I'm just going to get her really good at sports, and then she'll get scholarships through that.
I see.
They don't care if you have world domination aspirations if you're really good at sports.
You know, I don't actually play sports. I mean, I played drinking games in college, but you know, those weren't even intramural, so they don't even come close.
Sure they were, because I'm sure there was other frats and dorms and stuff that were willing to take up competitions to the I'm a better drinker than you are claim.
Well, that's true, but so far as I know, none of that would be useful to anybody who wanted to rule the world, so.
No, that's true.
So what would you say are the biggest challenges of being a single dad?
Well, we only have a bit of time, eh? I live in a city where none of my family is. All of my family is in other provinces. The only family I have here is my ex-girlfriend's, my daughter's mother's family. And I will say that though they are extremely, extremely, extremely supportive of me, but that's one of the biggest challenges, is that I don't have any of my own family here in the city. Two is trying to juggle work and time with her. I'm pretty active in the things she does. I coach some of her sports teams. I volunteer with some other things that she's involved in. So trying to find the time to juggle all that together. And being a single dad of a little girl with all the little girl questions can be a bit challenging at times.
I imagine that it's only going to get challenging as the years pass. Yes, indeed. Have you already bought your shotgun so that when she starts dating, you can have some say in things?
Oh, no. I don't need a shotgun. I'm a chef by trade and extremely good with a knife. So I plan on chopping vegetables each time that she brings home her boyfriends, just so they know how good I am. And usually I'll try to make sure that it's parsnips or carrots that I'm chopping at the time.
I see. Nothing suggestive at all there. Yeah.
Not at all. Yow. Not at all. Not at all.
So what is your culinary specialty?
I am presently, for the last 4.5 years, I am a chef at a Thai restaurant here in the city I live in. Although I don't really have a culinary specialty, I dabble in a lot of things, but my what pays the bills is Thai food at the moment.
What other cooking fields have you dabbled in?
I've worked in high-end restaurants, and I've worked in franchise restaurants. I mean, I've done fine dining, slap it on a plate kind of stuff, from one end of the spectrum to the other.
Okay, so after you've been at the shop all day playing Thai chef, when you come home, what is your favorite thing to eat?
Favorite thing to eat? You know, I like to keep it pretty plain and simple. My daughter's a tad finicky. Not super finicky. She'll try a lot of different things, but I like to keep it nice and simple, you know, meat and potato style stuff, or, you know, pastas and sauces, maybe some roasts or stir fries, that sort of thing. Nothing complicated, nothing over the top, nothing that takes me usually more than, you know, 10 or 15 minutes to prepare and 10 or 15 minutes to cook.
Oh, wow, you're making me hungry already just talking about it. So how do you like being an AP show correspondent?
I love it. I think it's absolutely fabulous. It's interesting. For anybody that hasn't tried the podcast before, even with the only, we get about 2.5 to 3 minutes to do our segment in, and to try to get your thoughts coherent and to get everything you want to say within 2.5 to 3 minutes without the stutters and the breaks and that sort of thing is challenging, and it's a huge learning experience. I've learned quite a bit actually since I've started. Not so much on the Canadian politics side, but more on the podcasting side.
Now, speaking of learning things, if you don't mind, I'd like you to tell our listeners what your name is, what your screen name is, and the story behind your ATS screen name.
My real name is Joey. My screen name at Above Top Secret is Gautu789, and it is an acronym for Grand Architect of the Universe, which is a Masonic term for God, basically, since we don't ask for anybody to believe in any particular God, you just have to believe in a supreme being. Our generic term for it is Grand Architect of the Universe. So I figured it's an easy way for anybody else that's on the site to realize that I am a Mason.
Hello, everybody. It's Joey again, bringing you another episode of The View from Canada for the Above Politics Show on AboveTopSecret.com. On this week's episode, we're going to be talking about several different items, one being the whispers of an upcoming election in October, the other Prime Minister Harper's snub of the Olympic Games and sending his foreign affairs minister to attend. And the third is inspired by a thread on Above Top Secret called God is Punishing Canada. first, we'll get to the election rumors, which have been going around the country now that last week Prime Minister Harper basically said, put up or shut up to Mr. Dion of the Liberal Party in regards to his policy, the Green Shift, which you've heard me mention before on the show. And so far, Mr. Dion has not responded to it, but he is meeting this week with his advisors to come up with or formulate some sort of reply to it. So far, nothing. Which isn't really surprising, because the Liberal Party right now is in no financial shape to run an election. They're well into the hole, and a general election costs anywhere between $100, maybe $75 million to run. And the Liberals definitely don't have that kind of cash on hand right now. And most political scientists believe that a fall election for the Liberals would be suicide at the moment. The next thing I just want to mention is that there was a perceived snub by our Prime Minister towards the Chinese government for the opening ceremonies when most other world heads of state were there in attendance. Prime Minister Harper chose to send our Foreign Affairs Minister, David Emerson, instead of attending himself. The Honorable Mr. Emerson said that with some relations building going on, that a prime ministerial visit could be in the cards in the near future. And the last thing I want to talk about is the attempted protest by the Westboro Baptist Church to protest outside the young fellow that got beheaded on the bus in Manitoba last week. It's a good thing they weren't allowed across the border, because Canadians treat their freedom of speech a little different than what they do in America, and what is tolerated with their protesting at soldiers' funerals and their hatred of homosexuals would never be tolerated in this country. We have very specific laws against hate speech, and Mr. Phelps and his family, I think, would have been in for a very large surprise if they had have actually made it across the border. Thankfully, the Canadian Border Service Agency disallowed them, straight from a directive from our Public Safety Minister, Stockwell Day, that new things may have gotten out of hand if they had have actually made it into Winnipeg. That's it for this week, guys. Thanks very much for listening. Take care and good night.
Gao, thank you very much. I've got to say, Canada doesn't really rank that much over in the UK news. So I tell you, it's always good to hear what's going on in Canada. We should take more of an interest, Justin, as it is one of the dominions for the...
Ooh, ow! Boy, you're going to hear from him about the D word there, dude.
It's dominion. He lives with that every day, but... good to have that, and Justin and I have made this plea before. We'll continue to make this plea. If you live in a part of the world that we're not talking about that much, you know what you need to do. You only need to contact us via U2U, or something brand new which we can reveal today. There is a website for the Above Politics Show. It is www.theabovepoliticsshow.com. which Justin and I have done work on. I will put my hand in the air, Justin, and say I've done most of the work on the website. So if people are unhappy about it or it doesn't look nice, direct the U2Us or the emails to me, Martin Bain, not Justin.
All right. So you would be Martin at theabovepoliticsshow.com.
Correct. And you would be Justin at theabovepoliticsshow.com.
Speaking of Techie Talk, I understand that you had a chance to talk to our UK correspondent, who's a very knowledgeable guy.
I certainly did. I got to spend a few minutes by phone with Nephamore, and then following, we will have Nephamore's UK round. So, Nephamore, here you go. And we're back, and I'm talking to the UK's political correspondent, Nephamore.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
Good.
Let's start straight in. So, Nephamore, does it mean anything? Does it come from anywhere?
It's from the Edgar Allan Poe poem, Quoth the Raven, Nephamore. It's spelt wrong, though, because it's supposed to have a V in it, but It's all to do with AOL and how they set their accounts up initially, and the correct spelling had gone. So I kind of altered it a little bit, and I've stuck with it ever since.
So there is some meaning to it, but there's no dark, sinister conspiracy to it.
Not really, unless you read the poem. The poem is quite dark in itself. I used to be a goth, hands up, card-carrying goth, dressed in black, makeup, the whole shebang. And it was one of those sort of cliquey, gothy things.
I'm sure there are going to be some of our younger listeners who are going, goth, goth, what's that? Just give them a couple of bands they should go and listen to.
Oh, the American version of goth is something completely different. They would call it possibly punk, but Sisters of Mercy, Fields of the Nephilim, probably the two most extreme examples I can think of.
And having, you know, a little bit of a rock leaning myself, I would encourage our listeners to take up that and go and have a listen. So the other one, so what brought you to ATS? Can you remember why you came here?
It was kind of accidental, but it kind of comes from out of my past. I did some work for another online web-based conspiracy forum that existed probably just before ATS did. So I've always had an interest in the subjects, and I was looking up one of my passions, which is aircraft and black projects, and came across an ATS feed and stayed.
And stayed until you were tapped up. So you had a U to U from the management saying you have been noticed.
I was woken up at 6 o'clock in the morning by somebody kicking my front door down, and I was bundled into a black car. And when I came back, or when I woke up, I was a moderator. What more could you say?
So you know all about, is it Cosmic?
Kind of, yes, but I can't really talk about that.
Right. So you do the UK political roundup for us. What got you into politics? Is there a defining event or a defining era or something that made you sort of think, hey, politics is actually something I want to pay more attention to?
It's funny you should say that. The earliest political thing I can remember is being told at school that we couldn't have milk anymore during break times because a certain minister of health, who was a woman called Margaret Thatcher, had decided that UK schools didn't need that. And, of course, she went on to become Prime Minister. And it all stems from there, to be perfectly honest. But it's picked up since then. There's a few sort of things that I do in my day job where I deal with politicians. And I actually am a union steward as well in my day job. So it sort of stemmed from there more recently.
And just as probably explain that a little bit for maybe a non-UK audience here, that you're the sort of link between the ground floor union members and the union management and executive. So they would maybe liaise with you about what was going on, and you'd filter things up to them if there were issues at a local level that you felt that maybe at a regional or a national level they should be aware of.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically how it pans out. A lot of it on the day-to-day side of it is dealing with I was going to say mundane, but that's probably the wrong word. It's a link between the staff and the management initially to do with issues like disciplinary matters or, you know, possible staff cuts and things like that. But yeah, there is a forum where you can feed things up to a regional level, and then that gets taken onto the national stage if it's important enough.
So, and presumably we have what we call in the UK something called what they call is the silly season, which is sort of this sort of time in August when allegedly most of the politicians have an official holiday. But I suspect, and I'm just curious on your views very briefly, that it might be quite an interesting silly season with all the hoo-ha about Gordon Brown.
Yeah, my view on Gordon Brown is that the man is doomed, and he probably, I don't know if he won't see the year out, but I don't think he will be elected again. And he may get ousted by the party. And I think, I mean, I've touched on a few things recently where he appears to be struggling, and the party Seem to have the knives out. It's more of the Ides of March, but it's going to be sort of December time by the time it gets to him.
So what we need to say to our listeners is, A, it was a good opportunity to understand a little bit more about Nevermore, who, I would say, has some interesting avatars. I mean, I would have to say there is one. I mean, you know, I'm not a big football fan, but I do know that one of your past ones was a Liverpool football club, so I don't know if you got any grief because of that. But then certainly I believe you had one with one of the singers from Girls Aloud.
Yeah, the Liverpool one, I get grief from Intrepid because although he lives in Canada, he claims to be a Manchester United fan. And obviously there is the huge rivalry between the clubs. The Girls Aloud ones, I mean, Nicola's a babe. Not only that, but she started her career not very far from where I used to live. So I actually did, that rather than her just being a babe, I actually did follow her career right the way through from when she was singing in pubs through to being on Pop Stars and being in the band. So it's a bit deeper than just the fact that she's eye candy.
Right, okay. I wanted to get that out of the way. So, and I presume, and I think you and I would both agree about this one, that if they want to know more about what's happening with Gordon Brown and politics in general, they must continue to listen to your roundup of UK politics.
I would think that would be a very good idea, yes. Sorry.
Well, no, I was just going to say, absolutely. And with that, I'd like to say thank you very much, Nevermore, and keep up the good work.
Thank you very much, Martin. It's been a pleasure being on.
Hi Justin and Martin, this is Nevermore with the UK Politics Roundup. We'll start with the Glasgow East by-election, where the Labour Party suffered one of the single biggest voting overturns in history, losing a 13,000 majority vote to the Scottish Nationalist Party. The loss further adds to the pressure on Gordon Brown, a man who really does seem to be floundering in his position as Prime Minister. Glasgow East had been a traditional Labour Party stronghold, up until now that is. Labour's response to the loss was to say, "We're listening," but then they said that after losing the Crewe and Nantwich by-election as well, so it seems that maybe they should have been listening a lot more carefully. They will have the summer parliamentary recess to ponder the result and get their ears cleaned out. Moving on, presidential candidate Barack Obama visited the UK this week and met with Gordon Brown and the Conservative Party leader David Cameron. Obama, who wants to strengthen ties across the Atlantic, seemed at ease with both party leaders, which is a good thing, as I personally believe he will become president and have to work with both of them in a professional capacity in coming years. Discussions between Obama and the two party leaders centred on Iraq, Afghanistan and the world economic situation, with the meetings being deliberately low-key compared with those of other European states, a clever move by Mr. Obama, who obviously believes that he will have bigger bridges to build with France and Germany. And finally, following on from one of last week's stories, Conservative leader David Cameron has been reunited with his pushbike, not by the police, but by the sheer fortune that whoever stole it only wanted the front wheel. It seems that the bike was found in a nearby side street, but as it was not parked in a tow zone, didn't qualify for congestion charge, hadn't passed a speed camera, and was incapable of carrying a knife, the local police were not interested in it.
That's all from me for now, so back to you guys in the studio.
Well, you guys are certainly staying busy, and I'm almost jealous because at least I haven't heard anything about politician love baby scandals.
Ah, yes, we do have them occasionally, but, you know, I suppose when you have a U.S. general election, you know, everyone's private life is under the spotlight. But I do have to say, why are people so interested in what John Edwards has admitted? Okay, he's had an extramarital affair. You know, you can turn around and say, yes, that's absolutely wrong. But, you know, unless he's planning to be a vice presidential candidate, what's the big deal here?
Well, I don't think he's planning to be a vice presidential candidate anymore. The big deal, I think, for the American people is that during the presidential primaries, this guy openly grandstanded cashing in on his wife's terminal cancer. And let's face it, he got huge contributions from that. He got a lot of sympathy, and his numbers went up at the polls. People still didn't choose him as a presidential candidate, but when he capitalized on his wife's illness, he got a lot of sympathy for it. And now that his infidelity has come out, he's admitted to it, he's spoken about it on national television, the backlash is easily four times as potent as the original wave of sympathy had been for him.
But I still go back to it. Yes, so he's got a backlash. He's probably crippled any chance of being a vice presidential candidate. But you know, you have to think in the grand scheme of things. So one of the candidates, you know, maybe over-egged his wife's illness, you know, and he was caught playing away from home. But you know, I think there is fundamentally much bigger issues for people to get wound up and worried about and have press time spent on than, you know, a presidential candidate, you know, admitted infidelity. I just sort of think, yeah, all right, it happens. Do we expect these people to be whiter than white?
The answer here in the United States is yes. We are, as voters, somewhat hypocritical because we really do want these politicians who alleged represent us, we want them to be better than we are. And unfortunately, that turns out to not be the case. I find it very telling. It was enlightening, but very telling that every time a politician in recent memory has had to come clean about his infidelities, they have said that basically they were drunk with the moment. Their egos were hugely inflated, and they, to quote Bill Clinton, they did it because they could.
Yeah, and you're right. You know, do we vote people to run our countries to sort of be monks and you know, not take advantage of the position they're in? And I have to think that's a rather naive view for any voter to actually take, that, you know, if you're, say, President of the United States or Prime Minister of the United Kingdom or President of France or the Chancellor of Germany, you know, I can't imagine those jobs are sort of 9 to 5. You can't sort of look at your watch at 5 p.m. and say, that's it, chaps, I'm not going to govern the country anymore. You know, so, you know, I'm not condoning the sort of the sexual elements of taking advantage of people, but you know, some of the things that happen once you've been in very high office across the world and you get to go on speaking tours or you get to become consultants for some of these large companies. Now, I've got to say that might be some compensation for potentially, you know, being woken up 24 hours a day if you're needed. But I just think it's odd that we expect our leaders to act in a totally different way to we as the electorate might act. And you know, how many of the people who are going to be casting votes in the US general election haven't been unfaithful?
Well, I don't disagree with you, but I do think that there's an idealistic streak in our society that urges us to want our leaders to be better than they are. But I think deep down, fundamentally, the number one issue that we have is the lie. Now, I can prove what I say here, because if you'll recall, in recent shows, we've talked about the fall of Elliot Spitzer, who was recently the governor of New York, who got taken out by a hooker scandal. And the guy who replaced him was a legally blind lieutenant governor named David Patterson. And as soon as this guy is sworn in, he turns around to the cameras and he says, oh, by the way, these are my vices and these are my infidelities. And because he came clean, we haven't heard word one from this guy since. He's not on the national stage. He's not on the country's political radar in any way, because he stole the media's thunder. He prevented them from tarring and feathering him. And I would say today that if it was Bill Clinton once upon a time who had, instead of saying, I did not have sexual relations with that woman, you know, if he'd have said, yeah, I did it and it was good and I do it again, you know, the controversy would have been dead within a week and that would have been the end of it. He could have been just that misogynistic about it and moved on.
And I don't disagree with that. And you have to think, you know, can we now assume that Barack Obama and Senator McCain have no skeletons in their cupboard?
Well, as a matter of fact, we already know about John McCain's. McCain divorced his last wife while she was on her deathbed, And then he turned around and he married up. Cindy McCain is the heiress to a very large beer distributorship franchise in Arizona. So, I mean, it's despicable in my mind as an individual that that this politician traded up as his wife was dying. But it's out there. It's in the open. He's not lying about it. He's not trying to cover it up. And I think that that's the number one reason why the media can't give him any more grief about it today, because it's out in the open, whereas John Edwards tried to keep the whole thing quiet, and I'm still laughing over the fact that he was unmasked by a rag like the National Enquirer.
Oh, that's slightly unfair. That's a quality magazine or, you know, an outlet that I frequently view when I have the opportunity and I see one that someone else has purchased before me.
And I understand that the Incredible Frog Boy may be on the loose again somewhere, but, I mean, really, these guys are, well, they're funny, but in the same event, we do have to take them seriously from time to time, because every now and then again, gosh darn it, they do get it right.
Exactly. And what it goes to show is that, you know, you have to look at a whole range of media, not only things like the National Enquirer, but also ATS, the ATS Mix, the BTS Mix, and our show, the Above Politics Show.
I recently had a chance to sit down and have a short conversation with Johanna De La Torre, who is the Republican Party's Deputy Press Secretary for Specialty Media. She's working out of Minneapolis right now, helping to manage and prepare the 2008 Republican National Nominating Convention. And the conversation I had with her was enlightening because, as it turns out, she has a lot of options available for our listeners who are bloggers and podcasters.
Hi, everybody. This is Dave Rabbit.
And I'm his co-host, Johnny Anonymous. And we do a show called The ATS Mix on AboveTopSecret.com. You know, after Dave and I get through doing one of our shows, we like going and listening to one of our sister shows on the Above Network, LLC.
And you know, Johnny, one of my favorites is over on BelowTopSecret.com. It's the new and hilarious BTS Mix Show with Spencer Tracy and Doc Hancock, his partner. When you're looking for lighter entertainment, these guys will rock your world with the best of sports, news, television, radio, and general discussion.
Oh, good.
They feature member posts, member on-air conversations, and celebrity interviews. This is a show that everyone is really going to enjoy.
And if by chance politics might be more your cup of tea, then AbovePolitics.com is going to be right up your alley. You know, the Above Politics show features Martin Bain and Justin Case, and they give you insightful and informative information that you're just not going to find anywhere else. They feature intelligent conversation on posts from our members, member interviews about their stance and platforms, as well as interviews with noted political figures and authors. You know, Dave, this really is your one-stop political shop.
And you're right about that, Johninator. So come join us all. Deny ignorance with Johnny and I on the ATS Mix Show.
Deny boredom with the BTS Mix Show with Spencer Tracy and Doc Hancock.
And deny apathy with the Above Politics Show with our friends Martin Bain and Justin Case.
And then you, too, can be a part of the revolution. Above Network LLC.
Hello, Johanna. This is Justin from the Above Politics Show. How are you?
Good, and you?
Why don't you start by telling us a little about yourself and what you do there at the Republican National Convention?
Well, Justin, I'd like to say hello to all your listeners right now, and thank you for the time, actually. Basically, my job, I'm the Deputy Press Secretary for Specialty Media. I handle a plethora of potential electorates or constituents. Basically, I handle everything from African-American media to Asians, Hispanics, bloggers, the youth, women, like I told you, a plethora of people. And I work with basically all the media outlets calling me, and if they need any help with questions answered or what's going on during the convention week, et cetera, I try and help them out with any of their requests.
That sounds pretty interesting. How does a person get a job like that?
My actual degree is in broadcasting. I started off in television about, I'd say, when I was 17 years old, so almost 10 years ago. And I came into politics because of a friend. And I started off in Washington, and I started working specifically Hispanic media. As you can tell, my name is Johanna de la Torre. My parents are Cuban immigrants, so that's my background. I started working in this because I just really needed a time off from television. I got even more in tune with everything that had to do with communications, because now I'm not only was I working with television, but I was working with radio and print and everything that encompasses all of the new technological advances.
I understand. The Above Politics show in its current incarnation is a podcast. It airs on the net once a week, and we estimate that we have at least 1 million subscribers, and that audience is growing all the time. So for somebody like me who's doing a show like this, what specialty hookups have you got in mind for the 2008 convention that I can use?
Well, that's a great question. This is going to be the most technologically savvy convention in GOP history. We're basically using new and innovative and emerging technologies that will be available to share the Republican Party's message with millions around the world. And not only share it, but share it in real time. So we're very excited about this. We'll be streaming the events gavel to gavel in both English and in Spanish in real time, basically providing a behind-the-scenes look at the operations. And that's because our goal is to increase our accessibility for millions. Not only the people who are here in Minneapolis, St. Paul, but everybody, so that they feel like they are a part of the convention, because that's what's important. The streaming will be available through our convention website at www.gopconvention2008.com. That's one of the things that we're doing for you know, innovative technologies like yours, but we're also going to be hosting different types of things during the convention. Me personally, I'm going to be having roundtables so that my media outlets can call in, and if they had questions for any delegate or any surrogate or whoever is the person speaking at the time, they can get the information and put their stuff on the air, even if they're not able to make it to the actual convention. So we're really excited about all the new and innovative things that are going to be coming about, especially this year. Like it is, I mean, let's face it, 2008 that we are in right now is one of the most technologically advanced. So we're really excited to jump aboard that.
Speaking of technological advancements, I understand that you had a hand in the 2004 Republican convention. So what's the biggest contrast that you can tell us about between 2004 and 2008?
The biggest contrast for me was that in the first convention, my role was more of a booker. Basically what that is if somebody calls and they have any type of request, I would find them the person to speak to them. But this time, my role is to be the speaker on behalf of our party. And I'm very excited to do that, because not only does it show that young people are involved in politics, but also because of the simple fact, like I told you, that I am Hispanic and I'm getting involved in something that's special to me. This is the future of my family and my nation. And I'm happy to be able to share that with everybody and share what the Republican Party's positive message is all about.
As you ramp up to this convention, I understand that inside the convention center, there's like 10,000 miles of wire and 40 bajillion cup holders.
The Xcel Energy Center had everything we were looking for. It had wide corridors. On top of everything, it didn't have one bad seat in the house. So it was just the place for us. It was technologically advanced, which is what we needed. And that's what I think is one of the most incredible things about this convention. We are trying to basically reach our message to people that would have never in their lives thought about getting reached out to, and especially like people like the youth. The youth vote is going to be huge this year, and that's basically anybody between 18 and 29 years of age. So we've joined a lot of initiatives that have to do with things like social networks like MySpace, YouTube, Facebook, things like that, things that will maximize our ability to engage as many people as possible around the country. It also provides a bit of a social networking where people can actually talk and discuss things that are as important as the politics of our nation. We're also working with Microsoft and Quest. They are our official communications and technology providers. And we're having a lot of innovative stuff that are just taking place within the convention that a lot of people don't know how much work goes into.
That sounds pretty cool. Now, we have quite a few listeners to the Above Politics show who are bloggers. What options do these bloggers have that you're going to have available from gavel to gavel as the convention goes?
Well, this year we're very excited because in 2004 there was only 12 bloggers that were credentialed. And this year we have over 200 credentialed bloggers. So the phenomenon of the bloggers has increased tremendously and has really given us a base where we can actually interact. People are going to be able to enjoy that because basically on the press level where normally the radio is, that's where the bloggers are going to be. And they're going to have like an onstage look at what's going on, gavel to gavel, like I told you. They're going to be there behind the scenes right there. They're going to have everything they can accessible to them at all times. So I think it's going to be a very innovative and fun and interesting thing to see when you actually go into different blogs and see what people think and what they're talking about, what was the coolest parts, what did they like, what worked, what didn't work. I think it's going to be quite exciting, actually.
How many people affiliated with the convention will be reading the replies that people make to these blogs?
Well, we actually have a service that goes into all of the whatever medias we're covering, whether it's blogging, whether it's something called Shadow TV, which gets everything that was done on actual television. It's like it's our official broadcast monitoring provider, and, you know, TV, radio, anything like that. We actually get hits back, so we'll know what's being said and what actually people thought worked and what didn't work. And that basically lays the groundwork for next year, which is basically 2012.
Next year, I'm sure time flies between conventions. So how many famous people do you meet in the course of doing your job?
Oh, a lot. I think that's one of the most funnest things to do. I had the pleasure of working with incredible people in 2004, and a lot of them are coming back for 2008. But believe it or not, I was able to meet somebody like the ex-U.S. Treasurer, Rosario Marin. If you look at your money, the person who signs it is Rosario Marin, and that's so incredible to be able to meet the person who signs the dollar bill. You know, I thought that was so incredible. She actually signed a dollar bill for me after. I had her sign a couple of them for my family as well. But I met people like that. I meet people like Senator Mel Martinez, who, you know, is a Cuban immigrant like myself and has made it to such an important place like, you know, the Florida Senate. It opens a lot of doors, not only what I'm doing, but even the most simplest job, just taking somebody from one interview to the other, it opens doors and it just broadens your horizons.
Oh, I can believe it. Once upon a time, I was a Senate intern, and I was amazed that somebody who comes from such simple circumstances as myself was working competently on a daily basis around so many of these national figures. When I think back on those days, the only word that I can use to summarize it all is just wow.
Isn't it wonderful? Doesn't it feel great because you're part of something that's making history? And I think that's one of the major reasons why I decided to, you know, take this job on again. I had actually left politics for about 2.5 years, and I opened my own newspaper publication in Florida. And when they called me and they asked me to come back aboard, I didn't even think twice, because this is where my heart beats. This is the future of my nation, and it feels great to be part of this because it's so important. I want to have a family someday, and I hope that they know that I tried my best to lay the groundwork for what they're going to be living.
Being part of the revolution is easy. Star, flag, and dig the mother. Whether you find a great topic or really enjoy one of our podcasts, you can make it even better by taking the time to show your appreciation and applause by giving the material a star, then flag, and finally a dig. This will draw attention to the thread or podcast, and by doing so, you're making a difference and improving the ATS, BTS, and Above Politics experience. So remember, when you find a great thread or podcast, star, flag, and dig the mother. Thanks for being part of the revolution from your friends at the Above Networks, LLC.
I just want to know, are the dollar bills that have been signed worth more than the dollar that they're worth now that they've been signed?
You would have to ask that question.
I just think what a great thing to do. I mean, you know, must be one of the joys of her job that, you know, she can go and ask this and, you know, get the real signature rather than the printed one. So I just think that's such a great idea. I just that made me smile, that idea. But and as I said earlier, we are trying to balance this to try and find someone from the Democratic Party. So no hate mail, please. But.
And that's all we have time for today. So on behalf of everyone here behind the scenes, thanks very much for listening. I am Justin Case.
And I'm Martin Bain, and we'll see you next time on the Above Politics Show.
You've been listening to the Above Politics Show. If you have a comment, suggestion, or an opposing view, please deliver it at abovepolitics.com. The views expressed on the Above Politics Show do not necessarily reflect the staff and management of the Above Network LLC or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening, and please continue to deny apathy.